morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir.
And it never ever gets, it like stops getting weird saying that.
Why?
Just, I don't know, introducing ourselves on camera. Isn't it weird?
We're introducing ourselves to our audience.
To our audience, yeah, in an empty studio, definitely. No, I'm joking. It's really, really nice to see people commenting more and more, engaging more and more with our Instagram stories, with the show. We're getting a lot of feedback, both good and bad.
True.
Some constructive criticism, some very, very kind words. It's an exciting day today because tomorrow is the Qatar Economic Summit. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for that. Last time we went to Doha, Richard and I, and we did the show from there. We're going to try to do the show from there as well. We're considering doing a vlog. Let's see how it goes. Richard doesn't know yet that we're considering doing a vlog, so we just, yeah.
You're the boss, no?
I'm the boss.
Of Smashy.
Gosh, please, please take that back on air right now. My job is on the line. But I wish I was the boss. I'm the boss when it comes to selecting some stories. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
For today's headlines, before we get into something else that I wanted to ask you about, but let's go quickly through the headlines. Which is Etisalat formerly, has set a new record with the world's fastest 5G speed internet. I never thought I would say that. Cristiano Ronaldo has invested in the tech company of an Egyptian-American founder. We're going to find out who up next. And Emirates Group has posted a record $5.1 billion profit, up 71% from last year. Dubai and Doha airports are among the world's top five most luxurious. Very, very impressive. And an influencer is facing backlash for her swimsuit collection. We'll also find out why up next. But how was your Monday yesterday, Farah? We missed you yesterday. Richard did the show
yes.
with me.
I honestly, it was okay. It was good. You know, it was chill. Monday is Monday.
Yeah. It feels Monday so is chill.
No, it was, like, I would say maybe Monday is Monday, chill in work, however, not chill. Like, I don't know, it just, like, felt so long, and it felt so annoying. I was so not in the mood, and I was very, like, I wouldn't say grumpy, I'd say, like, I don't know.
How relevant. I think everyone feels like that on a Monday.
I agree.
I think everyone feels like
Agreed.
That on a Monday.
Agreed.
Have you ever been to Doha? Have we discussed this before? I don't think so. Have you
I don't
been?
Think so. I think I've mentioned maybe to Casey that I haven't, but I would love to visit Qatar.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. And I mentioned to one of my friends that I would love to, because I'm going there for the summit, hint, hint, Richard, I would have loved to kind of extend my weekend and stay there for the weekend. And my friend was like, why? There's absolutely nothing to do in Qatar. I said, no, actually, the restaurants, the nightlife, the malls, it's actually, there's actually quite a bit to do there. It's a nice place to have a staycation.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me kind of like of the stigma that was around Dubai. That
or Abu Dhabi maybe
or Abu Dhabi or Saudi that there's nothing that you can do but we only know that because that's what we see from outside of the box, but we do not really see what's inside of the box, which is a lot of nice things.
Yeah, which I'm going to be documenting some of when we go to the summit.
We'll be excited for that.
and we're going to talk about the summit a little bit tomorrow to give you guys a little bit of context, or maybe I'll talk about it a little bit at the end of this. Actually, let's just go through it right now. It's a big event. The Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Qatar is going to be giving a speech. He's going to actually be in conversation as well with Bloomberg. We're also going to have the President of Poland, so that's going to be exciting. The Prime Minister of Malaysia. big names at this summit. I'm not going to go into too many details, but we also have really impressive business people lined up for interviews. Hopefully, we get at least some of them. It's going to be competitive, but let's see.
I mean, didn't I tell you guys that Lubna is the business queen?
The business queen. Oh, that's too, you're too kind. No. You're too kind.
No, seriously.
You're the boss and the business queen.
I mean, I'm just like...
Too kind. I feel like this is going to be my last day at...
No, I am sure that Richard would agree with me.
Oh, that's so kind.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
so
sure.
Kind. Thank you. Do you remember when Etisalat rebranded to E&?
Yes, I do.
Was it strange?
It was not strange. It was kind of like... I remember I was like, why?
Yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, there are these rebrands that are just so strange. Like, for example, this isn't even a rebrand, but they made such a big deal out of it that it was kind of almost like people almost thought it was a bit of a joke. So yeah. Dubai Mall rebranded to the Dubai Mall.
Dubai, what are you trying to do? Like an identity crisis to everyone?
I thought it was brilliant. Just add the before Dubai Mall and there you have it.
Speaking of the, you know, for so long, because I'm surrounded by a lot of farahs.
Yeah.
So at university, I came up with, but professor, I am the farah.
The farah.
So I do know like where that comes from.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Well, E&, is the has set a new record for the world's fastest 5G speed of 30.5 Gbps. I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly the details of this. I'm not going to pretend like I understand really, you know, the intricacies of this. But I'm going to go through it real quick. It's a milestone. It was revealed at the Samina Leaders Summit 2024. There was a demonstration. E&, formerly known still known as Etisalat. E&, is basically Etisalat and more. It's kind of like Twitter, right? The name just doesn't go away. You just never get used to it.
I agree.
But basically, E&, showcased the successful integration of various carriers operating in high band and mid band. The summit was showcasing that and including one of those companies was E&. Pretty impressive. I never thought that, you know, a company here in the UAE. I guess it's not surprising for them to be setting a world record. I don't know what I'm saying, but I guess I just never thought that the speed of internet, we would have the high speed of internet here.
I mean, I have always like known that the speed of internet in the UAE is amazing. Mm. And I only figured that out after traveling and figuring
True.
Would frustrate me. I'd be like, oh my God, why is this not working? And then I figured because I'm privileged and I live in Dubai and like the UAE as a whole. Mm-hmm. And the internet, we have like amazing internet services here, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, it's also pricey though, isn't it? It's not cheap internet here, but you do get
good quality
of
internet. I agree 100%. However, it's frustrating when the internet stops working. It's like, oh my God, why is this not working? Because we're so used to like
everything.
Very immediate internet, right? So
yeah,
like if
absolutely.
It lacks for like a minute, it's like, oh, what is this?
Yeah, we're very spoiled. We're very spoiled here, I have to say.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of, you're wearing an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
You're relatively healthy, definitely more healthier than I am.
What makes you say so?
What makes you say so? Oh gosh, let's not open that
aside,
Pandora's box.
Let's put that aside.
let's not go there. Have you tried Whoop?
No.
Whoop. So Whoop basically it is a watch, a device basically that you wear that monitors everything from your heartbeat to your stress levels to so much more. It helps you get better sleep.
How can it help me get better sleep?
Gosh, I mean, Farah, you always put me on the spot here. I think like it's great to do, but again, I'm not super
right
familiar.
Now.
No, you know what though? I'll tell you what. So the founder of Whoop, Will Ahmed, Egyptian American, put out a video with Cristiano Ronaldo, the legend, obviously. I think by far, perhaps one of the healthiest people on this earth. And apparently, they revealed that Cristiano is now an investor in Whoop.
I mean, I don't know. The thing is, okay, I am going to apologize to you and to everyone who's watching. And if Casey's watching and if Richard is watching, trust me, guys, I'm not that of an empty girl. But I am a Gen Z.
Okay.
So I kind of like got the Apple Watch because it was like all around like, you know, the happy to my friends. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? Let's get an Apple Watch and let's link our rings together and let's have this and this. And I'm like, fine, I will. And I
okay.
got an Apple Watch. So I wouldn't get it if it if none of my friends have it.
Okay. So you're not that big of a fan of the Apple Watch.
I mean,
you're just kind of going with the trends.
I love Apple. Okay. But I do
I mean,
make
you did model for
it.
Apple, right?
So, exactly, I yeah, did. If you guys yeah. don't know, my first modeling job was for yeah. Apple, and it looked very awkward.
Impressive. Impressive.
I'll show you the pictures afterwards.
No one thinks you're an empty girl, Farah. No one thinks you're an empty girl. Don't
but
say that.
I don't know, because like I feel like, you know, sometimes I go like, yeah, I'm not Gen Z, but then I think, yeah, but I'm doing
Gen Z is the generation behind pushing the boycotts. They did more than millennials did. So I think
to make things better for me.
No, honestly, I think we really underestimated Gen Z and someone came out, I don't know who came out and said, John Cusack, one of my favorite Hollywood actors, big activist, follows me on Twitter, by the way. Big achievement for John Cusack to follow me on Twitter. But he said the kids are all right. The kids are all right because they have been the ones going out to protest. They have been the ones really pushing the boycotts.
That's true.
They just have this, I don't even know what to call it, but... I don't know, just kind of fearless.
They're
a little bit unhinged in a very good way, kind of almost going after whatever they want with a naivety, I would
true.
Say.
I agree.
In a good way.
But speaking of watches, honestly, I do make good use of my Apple Watch. Regarding the Whoop watch, you sold me the moment you said it tells you your stress.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because like, you know, stress, if it's a lot in your body, it can cause a lot of other things.
Yeah.
As well.
I think actually I'm gonna opt for the Whoop watch now that I've seen Cristiano using it.
Try it out.
It's not available apparently. I will let you know. Apparently it's not available in the UAE. Our producer Hisham just told us that because he's been trying to get it. It is available in Bahrain. I wonder why it's not available. Here in the UAE, that's strange. Oh, it's available, but triple the price. Okay, Hisham. A few seconds ago, you said it wasn't available. So can you kindly fact check? Thank you. anyways, so Will Ahmed, founder and CEO of Whoop, was sitting with Cristiano Ronaldo, and Cristiano said something interesting about he does all these cold plunges. Obviously, we know that he has a his own chef, obviously private chef. He's very diligent about his routine. But he said one thing that was interesting. He said, don't call me after 10 p.m. I don't speak on the phone. I don't use the phone after 10 p.m. Because it activates my brain, he said. And he also, and then Will Ahmed said, that explains why you manage your stress levels very well. And he said, I can see from your Whoop device that you manage your stress levels very well. And then he mentioned something scientific that I can't for the life of me remember. Interesting that some of my friends do that as well. They don't use their phones after 10 p.m. I think it's a great... great piece of advice, honestly.
Actually, I have a very strict regime. I need to be in bed, just like relaxing, you know, like no white lights, no bright lights, just like maybe something like very, I would say, warm, low lights.
Yeah. Apparently, orange light is very good for sleep.
It is.
Apparently.
It is. At 8, all white lights are off. I don't talk to anyone. My phone goes into sleep mode. Mm-hmm. I don't receive notifications after 8. I don't talk to anyone after 8. And by 8:39, I need to be asleep.
Yeah.
And I need to walk for 10 minutes after every meal. So I do agree. I think I'm healthy.
I think you are the perfect customer for Whoop. I think you should go for it.
That's why I'm saying it's interesting.
Definitely.
If you find one in Qatar,
Qatar. I will let you know for sure. Moving on to Emirates. Emirates has posted a record $5.1 billion profit, up 71% from last year. The best financial results for the second year in a row, not surprising. Its revenues also rose 15% to a record high of $37.4 billion, thanks primarily to strong customer demand across its businesses. It also announced a dividend of $1.1 billion to its owner, the Investment Corporation of Dubai. Sheikh Ahmed bin Saeed Al Maktoum, chairman, stated that the group's profits will allow further investments into new aircrafts, facilities, equipment, technology, products, and services, and its people. Emirates is also moving to the Al Maktoum airport as well. I saw Sheikh Ahmed one time. And I tried to doorstep him. I saw him one time at an event for Ahmad. It was actually for the tower that that is that nobody is talking about, and for a reason that I learned not to talk about as well. I'm not going anywhere near that topic. Anyways, I saw him at that event. He just has such a presence that you feel in the room. You know,
that's true.
Some people you meet. You know, like Andrew Tate, for example.
Yeah, oh yeah, he can just be
and, like... And I just, I didn't feel... By the way, he was a really nice guy to me. Mm-hmm. He was really, really nice, lovely. Met him on a podcast with Tam Khan. But I just didn't feel that presence in the room. But with Sheikh Ahmed, it was really, you know, just such a strong character and a very kind of... very just interesting personality. Very, we kind of... Yeah, we kind of for lack of a better word, kind of locked eyes for a couple of seconds, and I was like, "Are you going to give me an interview or not?" And then he just kind of cheekily like gave me a smirk and kind of just said, you know, without saying anything, "Better luck next time." And then gave a guy from Bloomberg an interview, and the guy from Bloomberg just, you know, got in the car with him, and I was gutted, absolutely gutted.
Of course.
But anyways, better luck next time. Speaking of Emirates, though, they have also announced a bonus for employees. Both Emirates and Danata have been increasing their global recruitment endeavors, obviously. They achieved an all-time high of 112,406 employees. That's a 10% rise from the previous year. So, yeah, have you ever thought about being Emirates cabin crew?
Actually, no. But my sister is.
Okay.
And
give us the dish.
I'll give you the tea right now. Marah, I'm sorry. I apologize, dear sister, because she goes like, Farah, whenever she tells me anything, she goes like, Farah, but this is confidential, don't say it to anyone. I'm like, okay, sure, the next day, everyone in the office just like knows.
It's her fault. It's her fault. You are completely innocent. Please go ahead.
No one told you to trust me.
Exactly.
I all the time tell her, did I tell you to tell me?
Great point.
You told me.
Totally agree.
And I am a journalist, so you do you.
So what is it like? So, tell us.
She loves it so bad. And of course, they treat their cabin crew so well. Mm. And she told us about all of these information that was coming before it was even announced.
Okay.
So she told us a lot of things.
I feel like you could have mentioned that earlier, Farah, on the show. But it's okay.
I said it to Casey.
Well, next time, say it to me because, you know.
Deal.
Deal. All right, perfect.
We've got a deal. But she has, she tells us how, like, the cabin crew as a whole, they have this full-on training on how they can give their best service to the passengers, whether it is a baby crying, whether it's a pregnant wife or a mother, or whether it is a new... married couple, you know, they have they're trained how to treat their passengers so that they can give them the best experience, because to passengers going or flying through Emirates is not only just like going through an airplane, but as well it is a whole experience,
absolutely,
as like a whole, right?
Absolutely.
So
is it stressful though? Is it like give us insight into life of cabin crew?
First of all, my sister loves it so much. It pays really well. Mm. They have the best insurance. However, because they care so much about their passengers, like the other day, my sister, she was coming back from a flight from Heathrow to Dubai, and she fell, and she, of course, like had like, you know, a scratch.
Yeah.
The Emirates as a whole made a huge deal about it. They're like, Marah, her name is Marah. Marah, don't fly. It's okay if you need anything, you know, and they made like a huge deal about it. They even gave her a report and so on. My sister was like, guys, I'm fine. Because
nice.
They care
That's
about
nice.
All the tiniest details. When they first get in the airplane for their
I think they also flight, they also care very much about their reputation, obviously.
Yes.
So they want to be very very careful. But it is a very good company from
that
what I've
true.
Heard. They do.
That is true. And as well, like she tells us how like you know like the Emirates keep on, I would say, blooming, because it comes all together as a whole with Dubai tourism, the service that Emirates provides, and as well, of course, you know, like Dubai keeps on growing and growing and growing even more.
I mean, speaking of Emirates, Dubai tourism, Dubai airports, you know, I was at ATM recently, really, really lovely, nice event, but DXB has topped the list. Sorry, one more thing. The Dubai Airports team were so absolutely really, really lovely. They are very lovely towards journalists generally. And so are Emirates, honestly. And they've luckily forgiven me for an opinion piece that I wrote years ago that we're not going to get into. So thank you, Emirates. But yeah, Dubai Airports, Emirates, Dubai Tourism, lovely people to deal with, really fun accounts to work with as well. But DXB has topped the list of the world's most luxurious airports. That's according to All Clear Travel Insurance. And in second place came London Heathrow. London Heathrow. Is it really impressive?
According to my sister, no. Because I don't know, maybe because my sister is very used to Dubai.
Yeah.
She's a Dubai-based kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it is lovely. It's just total and utter chaos, I feel.
It is.
But it is a beautiful airport. Mm-hmm. Let's go down the list a little bit more. Doha's Hamad International Airport came in third place. It's a beautiful airport. I didn't get to spend much time there because we were kind of running around trying to catch our flight back from the Qatar Web Summit. And you know how Richard is. He doesn't like to rush through anything. You know, he's a very take your time kind of guy.
I mean,
I'm being very sarcastic. He's definitely not.
Really?
Because you're saying that.
I mean, I don't know much about Richard, but you know, by the way, him and my dad.
I feel like we should stop talking about Richard.
No, because him and my dad share the same personality.
Oh, yeah, same.
The same birthday, actually. Sorry, the same birthday.
Okay. Yeah, Richard reminds me of my dad.
Literally. And then my dad, it's like every time I look at my dad and I go like, Baba, do you know that? How are you the same birthday as Richard? And he goes like, my dad is very like, he gives me like the look like,
why is that?
Shut up.
Why is that? Why?
I swear. God,
I feel like we need to look into this. Maybe there's something wrong with
us.
They're
the same birthday. Richard works out. My dad's...
When is Richard's birthday?
Isn't it like the September, the beginning of September?
Beginning of September. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this.
I mean, we need to
after the show.
We need to have a psychoanalysis.
Or not. Or maybe we should just let this one slide.
I'll let this one.
Anywho, in fourth place, Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport, really, really stunning airport. They've worked so much on this airport, renovations, etc. There's this beautiful lounge area. You know the seats, the boarding kind of boarding area, pre-boarding, whatever it's called, where you wait towards your flight, basically. The seating there is done in such a vintage retro style. You know, with the lights and I don't even know how to describe it. The color palette, they've worked on it so much and they're still working on it. So it was really impressive, that airport. I would say when they're done with it, it's going to beat Heathrow for sure.
It must be so art deco. But I think maybe my sister should not be cabin crew, because every airport that you've just mentioned, she goes like, Farah, no. Don't travel there. It's not that cool. And I look at her like... Is it you? Are you the problem?
Is it you? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should get her on the show to give us some insights. I don't know. Let's see. Sydney International Airport came in fifth. And then at number six was Singapore Airport, followed by, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, Suvarnabhumi International Airport. Really embarrassing this that I'm not let's move on before
if you butchered the name.
Yeah, definitely. And then Hong Kong International Airport at number eight, Frankfurt, and then Narita International Airport came in at number 10. The airports in Moscow are quite clean. But I would say they can do a lot better, and they are working on the renovations much more. But yeah, just I don't know. Just wanted to mention.
Oh, Moscow, my sister has been to Moscow. She really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well. Yeah. At least she liked Moscow.
I don't know how does she, how does the thought process of judging works for her?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just the feeling that an airport gives you, you know? Influencer Hadia Ghalib is facing a backlash for her swimsuit collection. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's quite pricey. Do you follow her on social media?
Social media? To be honest, no.
No, you don't. Yeah. Okay. Great. Cool. Me neither. So we've got no information on this influencer, Hadia Ghalib. Right. Okay. So she's Egyptian. She's apparently been the talk of TikTok lately. I know ages ago that I saw that she, well, not that long ago, she launched a modest swimsuit collection. So burkinis, colorful. Smart of her because there aren't that many options.
That's true.
For conservative swimwear. Mm-hmm. So she revealed her 2024 summer swimsuit designs in a video on her Instagram account. It sparked widespread debate. Some people criticized her for the prices. They said they were too high. So the collection also had a men's collection as well, and the prices went up to $105. And then for the women's, it went to up to $315. She also said that the collection sold out in the first 24 hours, or almost nearly sold out in the first 24 hours. She said 170,000 customers viewed the website when the 2024 swimsuits were first displayed. There were mixed reactions with people. I'll get to the comments in a bit. But is that expensive for swimsuits by an influencer? I think yes.
All right. I honestly do see why she faced a lot of backlash because it is expensive.
I mean, it's over 1,000 dirhams for the women's.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of like too much.
But I mean, it's smart of her, right? Because the demand is there, and she wants to be a businesswoman. At the end of the day, I'm usually not on the side of influencers, but let's see how it does. Let's see how people react to these prices. I remember Anas Bukhash launched a fashion brand as well, and I think it went bust because it was also priced really. At high prices, and but let's see. I don't know. It's I feel like it's a hit or miss with these things, because what he launched at the time were kind of like sweatpants, sweatsuits, t-shirts, and I remember asking him. I said, like, Anas, why are these priced? I feel like I'm in Harvey Nichols or something. He said, well, it's Japanese cotton, et cetera, et cetera. I said, yeah, but really?
So much.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, it did go bust. If I'm not mistaken, perhaps I am. Yeah. But for this, though, there is a gap in the market. There isn't that many varieties and options. So I actually think it's kind of smart that she's doing this. It's taking advantage, but businesses normally, they do this on Valentine's Day.
That is true. I think she's facing a lot of controversy because an influencer is an influencer, and she's supposed to be there for her people, for her fans, for her followers, right? Mm. And then when she has like a product that is that pricey, that kind of like devastates the followers, and it's like, fine, like,
good,
I was following you because of like ABC, and now you are making use of that. So I think maybe they're kind of like salty, or kind of like, you know what I mean? And it is honestly a lot, like a thousand. I would never be a thousand.
Right. Perhaps. So here's the thing, though. The great point that you just made. I would also argue that if it was me and I was following someone I really like and they put out a collection and it was expensive, I would say, oh, you know, it is really expensive, but because I really like this person, I will buy this. But here's what her followers were saying. Someone said, Hadia Ghaleb is not fake at all. She's really an inspiring young lady who's achieving her dreams, but it's overpriced anyways. Then someone said, what's so special about Hadia Ghaleb's burkini for it to be this expensive? Then someone said, someone asked Hadia Ghaleb about a swimsuit. Someone asked her, sorry, this is translated from Arabic to English. Someone asked her how much it is to rent the swimsuit. Okay, so they're making fun.
That's
that
actually
it is.
Funny.
and then someone said, Hadia Ghaleb's brand new swimsuits for 15,000 Egyptian pounds. It is expensive in Egypt, I guess. Almost, I'm going to read it in Arabic first. تقريباً كده في عرض ما okay all right. So basically, they're saying it's the same as the cost of 4 days and three nights in any hotel. Okay,
that's true.
Fair enough. I mean, nobody is forcing them to buy these swimsuits. Mm-hmm. I still think it's I have to give it to her. Like, I think the the burkinis are colorful. There is demand for them. There is a gap in the market, and she's going for it. So
yeah, so I think people are just disappointed.
Kudos to her. You sound really disappointed, Farah.
I mean, I don't know, because I'm just there like, I would never buy it. Like, I would never spend thousands. On, you know,
yeah. I wish I could say I'm as smart as you are when it comes to
money.
Spending money on clothes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it is my weakness and my kryptonite. Anyways, thanks for your time, Farah.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this conversation. And we're going to miss you. We're going to be in Qatar tomorrow and after tomorrow.
Have fun, actually, and enjoy.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward for the vlog with you and Richard.
Thank you. Let's hope it happens. Guys, watch us. Stay tuned. And if you've got any stories for us, anything that you'd like to pitch us, even if you would like to come on the show, get in touch. Let us know. Get us wherever you get your podcasts. You know the drill. We'll see you tomorrow from Qatar. Okay.